This is Betsy and Thomas at the American Intelligence Media. Thomas, what we really see in our environment is the fog of war. Because when you're in the middle of a war with all the bullets and the bombs and the smoke, you might not be able to clearly see who your enemy is. And so that's metaphorically speaking of what we see in an information war. You don't really know who the enemy is. Trump calls it the invisible enemy because we can't pierce the veil of who that real enemy is. Now, for some people, the enemy will appear as coronavirus. And who knows how long these COVIDiots will wear masks in public. I mean, it could be years because the brainwashing has been so deep in the programming that not everybody's going to be able to wake out of their stupor for quite some time. For other people, in the fog of war, they see the enemy as George Soros, and they see the color revolutions that have occurred in Europe, and now we're seeing his purple revolution unfold here in America. In the fog of war, you could see your enemy as a senior executive service and the war that they waged against Trump from the moment he was inaugurated until this current day. He has still not been able to take his first day of his legitimate presidency because there's been a war against him this whole time. But folks, if you followed the American intelligence media for all these years, you know where we're going. The truth of the matter is that when you lift all the veils, when the fog of war is totally lifted, and on that clear day, you will see the enemy, and it is the Bauer Rothschilds.
Yes, I'd have to underscore exactly what you said. It is the fog of war. Because when you're in war, even myself, I wasn't in the Vietnam War. I was in the Vietnam era, and I was in intelligence, and there was a fog around intelligence because we weren't supposed to be spying on everybody, but we were, the NSA, the National Security Agency. So the fog is that the troops aren't told what's going on. For instance, let's look at the fog of war that came with Spanish flu. That was actually a vaccine given out by the United States Army. That's the reason that the Spanish flu started in America at Fort Leavenworth and all the other places that they gave the first typhoid vaccines. And then they gave a second set, a super typhoid vaccine that caused so much typhoid during the war that both sides got it, everybody got it, and between 50 to 100 million people died from it. Well, this is what they're truly, really trying to do right now, is keep us in a fog. So with the pandemic, people started waking up because Tony Fauci, during the fog of war, somehow takes control of our president, takes control of all of America. Since when is the National Institute of Health going to determine what happens throughout all of America? First off, even the federal government doesn't do that. That's the reason the governors, the demon rat governors, have basically let their power go to their head and they've gone nuts.
Well, Thomas, along that line, are people going to get together with class action lawsuits against Tony Fauci as a so-called professional on the harm that he has done personally to them and their businesses with the advice that he gave? Oh, he certainly has professional insurance from a major insurance provider that will cover the vast losses people have had because of Tony Fauci, and also include Ms. Birx in that too. Can they be held personally and professionally responsible and pay for our damages?
Professionally, no. Personally, yes. Professionally, they are basically sanctioned to say these things. And the National Institute of Health has always been in control. And the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which they never add in prevention. Anyway, those agencies follow who? The United Nations, which has now basically completely been defunded by Trump, and the UN, and particularly Antonio Guterres. He is a total criminal. He created the 56 million refugees by supporting Obama bombing seven countries. We wouldn't be in this condition if that weren't the case. And you wouldn't have a lot of the anger out there in the world if we didn't have the backlash of what the Obama administration did with basically nonstop war for 8 years and doing nothing to stop terrorism in this country, as a matter of fact, supporting it under a variety of names, which is really a new form of communism.
But these are all war fronts in this information war, because the globalists, who are they, that want to take over the planet? And it walks itself back into the overthrow of Donald Trump, the coronavirus. It walks itself right back into the Privy Council. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on about this king that's supposed to take over. I mean, he's supposed to be the rightful king. And I see a lot of this. Folks, these are distractions. They do not want you to connect the dots to Christopher Steele and Richard Dearlove, because then this coup operation walks itself right back into the Queen.
That's exactly where it was going until the pandemic came along. As more and more things were then released to the public, especially since Rick Grenell was at the Office of the Director of National Intelligence for a while, and also now it's continuing with Ratcliffe. They're going to release all this information, but they had to cover it up. So George Soros, in his last-ditch attempt, because we really thought the pandemic was the last-ditch attempt, but we forgot that the pre-programming of a summer of riots has always been in Soros's pocket. 184 non-government organizations all screamed that they wanted. It's unbelievable that people who said that they are 501c3s, not-for-profit organizations who don't pay taxes, who aren't supposed to be partisan one way or the other, are so far to the left that they are literally fascist and now literally communist. Obamaism is a form of Marxist slash, or I would call it chaos Marxism slash communism. And that's the reason he did nothing to stop communism and allowed Hillary Clinton to make a penny on every dollar for everything sold in Walmart and allowed China to take over our country when they were communists. We have a law that says we aren't even allowed to do business with communists, okay? I mean, when did that law get dropped? Well, when Mitch McConnell married his wife, China Chow, when Dianne Feinstein sold out to the communist Chinese, both in San Francisco and Hollywood, and all the Democrats in California have sold out to the Chinese, the governor, all of them. And I can go into great detail about that, but we have told Trump from the beginning, you need to be at war with China. But we also have always pointed out, and now you're seeing the truth of what we told you was going to happen. As a matter of fact, there was a prediction I made about all of this. And it was that Chinese will not, in any sense of the word, ever honor any contract. They never have in history. Why would they now? So Trump needs to be ready to pull back all manufacturing to America, to make sure that all IP stays in America, to stop the theft of patents by Five Eyes, by Britain and its other agents, the Crown agents, and the Privy Council, which even works separate from Britain. So, you know, when you're saying the Privy Council, sometimes they control actually Britain and Parliament and the British military. And that's the reason that it isn't really even Boris Johnson's decision about Huawei. Remember, we are in a war with China right now. Not only Antifa is communism, okay? And communism is a bunch of ignorant people who use ism as an excuse for expressing their own violence and aggression with the hope of getting something for nothing, like looters, like Democrats, like the far left liberal progressives who want something for nothing. It's the same old story.
Because what's very important to note is that when Trump calls them out as a terrorist group, he didn't say a domestic terrorist group. So this puts it in the international terrorist group, which means we can use the Patriot Act and all that garbage that they were going to use on us. We have it. And I hope he uses this and takes them out. And I'm not talking about just the thugs on the streets. I'm talking about the people that have been funding this stuff. People like Hollywood types, Rob Reiner and Cher and Jane Fonda and, you know, Ellen DeGeneres. And they have been funding. They want to even pay for these people to come out, you know, pay their bail so they can hit the streets again. Well, they are just as much a part of being a terrorist, and they too should be arrested. Some people say that many of these Hollywood types are already under house arrest, but I don't know. I don't know. That's sheer speculation.
Well, you can see something on Ellen DeGeneres' leg.
Yes.
That's for sure.
But we can't really jump to say that she's under house arrest.
No. But the deal is that they are communists. And they have been historically from the beginning. Hollywood is always, communism has used Hollywood to promote the degradation of morals in America.
Yes.
So that China could walk in after we had destroyed ourselves from the inside out. That's always been their plan. So when you're talking about those Hollywood people you just mentioned, who pays them? Who signs their checks?
China.
China.
China signs everything in Hollywood now.
Unfortunately, China's bought everything that is for sale in America, including all of our politicians and the land and the real estate. All of our IP, Silicon Valley, everything, all of our colleges, universities, they have literally, you know how many Chinese students are in America right now stealing intellectual property almost exclusively in the areas of technology? 500,000. What are we going to do about that? We invited them in. We give them scholarships. And then they have infinite scholarships through the Confucius Society and all the untold amounts of money that has been literally at Harvard. Billions of dollars have been poured into Harvard Medical Center so that then David Lieber can take nanotechnology and give all the patents of Harvard. First off, they shouldn't even have the patents. To China? Well, let's remember, they already went to Britain, and Britain is really behind China. And look at Hong Kong, for instance. Now they've come out to say, we're not going to support Hong Kong. We told Trump, don't support Hong Kong. That's a trick. If you support Hong Kong, without saying China, without saying Britain, it's your problem. It's not ours. You made it a free economic zone so that there could be corruption. And so what did Trump just do? What I tell you he always does. And now it snuck out this time because of all the chaos going on, that the people in Hong Kong who are British agents who make all the money and all the decisions, he's sanctioning them. Because they allowed this to happen. This was carefully planned and orchestrated. So the power base in China knew that they had planted these supposed British-leaning Chinese who were running Hong Kong. Complete nonsense. We told you it was all fake. Any stock market exchanges in Hong Kong, all fake. All the money's fake. Everything. Everything fake in Hong Kong. It was always British. Never was it Chinese. And then when it became clear that it wasn't Chinese, then the Chinese had to say, well, of course it's us. The Chinese never let go of anything. They never lose anything. And anyone who enters into China has always become more Chinese than even some Chinese.
Now, I read that one, I'm not sure if it was Boris Johnson or it was Nigel Farage, it was a British leader that said to the United States, look, okay, fine. You don't want us to be a part of, or you're not going to be a part of Five Eyes because you won't use the Huawei soft hardware. So why don't we all work together to find something that we can all use? And I'm going, hey, you missed the point. The point is we don't want to have any relationship with Britain because it's been spying on us for hundreds of years. This has been going on. The British Imperial Empire is a very nasty enemy, and we do not want to align ourselves. And all this stuff that you heard in school, oh, the British, they're our friends, we have a special relationship, and how we won the war, it's all a bunch of propaganda. It's not the way it really happened. Now, we love the British patriots that are standing up for their freedoms, and we don't oppose them. But Thomas, we have got to take down this, or we've got to get these crown agents out of America. And the worst one on my radar right now is that scumbag John Roberts. Did you see his latest ruling where he considers going to church on par with going to a sporting event? I mean, this man is clearly anti-American.
Well, I've said from the beginning that he's an idiot, and only an idiot can make the rulings that he makes. And then only an idiot can use the logic that he gives to justify it, because it's not logic. That's just stupidity. And I hate to have to use such base words, but there is no comparison. You cannot stop people from gathering together in America. What if you have a corrupt government?
Excuse me.
It is our right to gather together under any circumstances.
He is a Supreme Court justice, and he can't read the First Amendment? The First Amendment gives us our religious freedoms in this country? And no, he needs to go down. Now, we just did a big piece on him and show he is all up in with the Knights of Malta. Why is a foreign agent the head of the Supreme Court?
That's certainly what it looks like. And now, also, we already have the Justice Department stating that John Roberts is wrong and that all these governors can be sued. You can't even close down a business. And you certainly can't close down interstate business. Period, 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 period. There are so many laws that stop you. Because why? Otherwise, there'd be battles between the states. You cannot stop interstate commerce unless it is a federal emergency. Now, there is a federal emergency, but it did not give those governors, those Democratic governors, those demon rat governors, the power to basically punish the people and then demand from the federal government subsidies for them punishing the people.
And, you know, I hear people talking about, well, they're going to sue these states. Well, folks, these states are so bankrupt already. You think you're going to get any more money out of the state of Michigan or California or New York? They can't even make their pension payments.
And that's the problem when politicians run economics or try to run things practical. And that's the reason Trump works as a president. He's one of the first ones that actually had successful businesses beforehand. All the others, look at their history. They are all losers. Oh, don't even get me started on the losers. But anyway,
let's talk about Dana Buente. I want to hear you hear is how important that is.
Dana Buente has been the behind the scenes, I'll sign anything to keep the deep state going, the shadow government. He is a senior executive service member. He is the lawyer who has basically allowed from the beginning the Christopher Steele document to be bandied about both in the Department of Justice, the State Department, the CIA, the FBI. He knew it all. And he also was the one giving the orders about the FISA. He signed FISA warrants that he knew were lies because he knew that the Russian dossier was a lie. He was the one who was working with the Senate Intelligence Committee trying to bring Christopher Steele in and pay him $50,000 in installment. He's the one who approved the FBI paying $50,000 in installment for the 11 that they paid for. Okay, this guy is as dirty as he can be, and he and Bill Priestap both need to have been taken down a long, long time ago, that they stayed in their position and that some alternative journalists believe that they were white hats is complete insanity. No, these two are two of the grossest because Bill Priestap stayed in that position after two others before him, that would be the head of the counterintelligence division of the FBI, two others before him quit because of the corrupt insanity they witnessed. Bill Priestap didn't quit. He ordered Gina Haspel to control Michael Gaeta, to hire Eric Thompson, to be a honeypot to try to take down George Papadopoulos. I mean, these are the people with James Baker. Dana Buente was in bed with the Flynn setup. He was in bed with what I call James Comey's bunk buddies that went back, and they literally met at the FBI like insane frat members having a keg party, gloating over whether, you know, later, Rod, in the same fashion, Rod Rosenstein wearing a wiretap because they don't tap him down when he enters the White House. I mean, this is a conspiracy that Dana Buente was 150% aware of.
And resigning? Okay, that's fine. At least he's out. But folks, we're going to have a long memory here. And all these folks, they need to be tried. Now, with the Patriot Act and with Trump designating Antifa as a terrorist group, tell me, we talked about this earlier, about how the trials for these people would be different than they would be under normal circumstances.
Oh, that's a really good topic. But I want to say one more thing about Dana Buente, and that's that he is one of the controllers. And there are very key people who are the gatekeepers, the controllers, and he's one of them. And so he and Michael Atkinson and the IG for, well, actually four or five IGs, inspector generals for the different agencies, have all been fired. Why? Because they are the gatekeepers. They are the SES top members who control whether anybody ever gets to complain about anything. And so him being gone is glorious.
Yeah, but then you've got this guy that's going to be over there at, is it the Department of Commerce, who's the SES member who's going to be taking the complaints that we have for social media? Well, that's going to go nowhere. He's senior executive services.
Yeah, possibly, but the complaints, the 50, 60,000 complaints have already been processed. And that brings us to Antifa.
Okay.
Antifa has already been processed. Trump already said he's designating them as, first off, domestic terrorists, which is really different because then he can use all of his agencies. Because if it's a domestic enemy inside our own borders, there is no limit.
But wait a minute. Now, that was a year ago. He tweeted out that he was thinking about doing it, but he hadn't done that. I hadn't seen that he had done that then.
At that point, undoubtedly had them under investigation.
But surely he did. And then now, I haven't seen anything that he called them a domestic terrorist. Are you saying that that's incorrect?
That's what he called them to begin with.
Yes, okay.
And that was so that he could use certain forces, the Denver-based National Counterterrorism, which he was working through McGuire and others. He was working through following them with the Treasury. He was tracking all these people. He was noticing that and tracking the fact that the social media supports them. He was tracking who was paying money to them through the Treasury. And so now at this moment, every single person, at the second that he signs the document, and he signs that document, no, he doesn't need Congress to say that we have been attacked within our borders.
Congress, Nancy Pelosi's got the house out for another month. They're just totally unfunctional.
So because Barr is on board, and we know that Barr is, you know, he's been part of the corruptocrats, if he's on board, that means Antifa is going down. Now, Antifa is nothing more than the resurrection of the Party of the Regions in Ukraine. And who was it that supported the Party of the Regions? That would be Joe Biden. That would be John Kerry. That would be Hillary Clinton. That would be all of the corrupt Democrats, all supported the Party of Regions. Why? They were the communists who supported the German Nazis.
Are you telling me that by doing this, see, Bill Barr, I don't know, he may be clueless on how vast our enemy of to America really is, but you can surely see that on the streets, Antifa is our enemy. So you sign all this stuff, you designate them a terrorist organization, you start working at the lower ends with your thugs on the streets, and you go into your Hollywood people and your politicians, and are you saying you work your way up to old Hildebeest?
Oh, absolutely right there.
Oh my goodness, this could take her down.
And Joe Biden too, but he's an idiot. He didn't even know
what
he's doing.
But you don't have to do that right up the front. As long as you know how your rat line works, you start at the lower end and you just keep taking them out one after the other.
Trump has been tracking the donations to Antifa through the U.S. Treasury since the moment that he declared them domestic terrorists. Now that he's declaring them just terrorists, that means he now gets to bring in every single agency that there is because he has a domestic and an international enemy, which has appeared all over the world. So Antifa is not an American phenomena.
Yes.
It is a communist, fascist,
you have
chaos,
the riots
Marxist
going on
group.
All over the world simultaneously. There's your proof right there. It's international.
And they fly a flag and everything they say is the opposite of what is reality. Anti-fascism? No, they are fascism. So it's great because what they don't know is that I guess on the second night in Minnesota, as this is what I hear, I don't know if it's true, somehow, because whether we liked it or not, contact tracing was put onto all of our iPhones. Anybody who had an iPhone who went to Minnesota can be tracked. So they can do contact tracing, not just for COVID, but for Antifa.
You mean it's been
Antifa.
Placed on my phone right now?
Yes, everybody's.
You know what? I stopped taking my phone anywhere.
Whether you know it or not, you're being tracked. And if all they have to do is designate, they just have to put in the definer, and they can track anybody for anything. Because why? That your phone is a tracking device. So what the Antifa doesn't know is anybody who came across state lines, he put in that parameter, bingo, that's a federal crime. Just go pick them up. How will they be tried?
Yes, now, that's what you want to know. That's what I want to know, because I want to know that it's going to get done.
Well, how are international terrorists tried? Oh, they take them to Guantanamo Bay. They have no representation.
Yes.
They have nothing.
Yes.
They don't go to a court. They can sit there forever, because as long as the battle continues, so as long as Antifa still continues. Yeah, we're in a war with Antifa.
So they're like prisoners of war.
Correct.
And they can sit in there in Guantanamo Bay for as long as it takes for us to round everybody up.
And they have no rights, because once they're taken out of this country because they are terrorists. Remember the U.S. Patriot Act.
Oh my gosh, Jane Fonda.
All
she
of them.
Cher. Oh, what is Rob Reiner going to do?
Are you kidding? If Kamala Harris stopped over, if Kamala Harris stepped over the barriers during her recent protest slash riot, she is an Antifa supporter and she is a terrorist. Any support, it's very, very clear. First off, you can't be a communist in this country. under any guise.
I'm so glad they retrofitted the Kmarts for us so that we can use on them.
Those FEMA camps are going to get filled.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't shock anybody to know that George Soros, Open Society, and Tides Foundation support NGOs that then support Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other groups that have promoted violence. Now, you might not like me saying Black Lives Matter has promoted violence, but people have literally been shot. Remember when they literally had snipers on the roof and they killed police as well, and that was their intent. They stated Black Lives Matter needs to kill the police. And police were killed repeatedly throughout this country. That's completely forgotten, isn't it? So Black Lives Matter is supported by the Democrats all the way to the top. So when that, or when Antifa gets round up, then either Black Lives Matter will fizzle away or they'll go after them next, especially if there's any more deaths. Because the drive-by shooting of the federal officer in Texas was a murder, and it was a conscious murder, and it was done by the fomenting of these isms. And the ism, now let's look at this. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but this is probably what happened. I have read the police report with George Floyd, and I send my condolences out to his family and to everyone who's lost a store in the looting or lost their lives in the protesting. Some peaceful protesters have been harmed by the rioters, showing that there are two different groups. But this is what I want to say. If you read the police report, which no one ever does in these things, it always shocks me. The people who go out and put their life on the line to protest or to riot and then become a criminal don't even read the police report, which of course is going to be slanted towards the police. But once you read it, then you'll go, oh Lord, that's what happened? Okay, this is what happened. George was picked up because there was a call-in from the store that said they got a fake $20 bill. So they called the police, and George was just sitting in his car around the corner eating something. So the police came, very calmly got him out of his car, and no problem, sat him down, talked with him, told him what they were going to arrest him for, and he's like, no, you don't want to do that, man. The second they said they were going to arrest him for a fake $20 bill, he went out of his mind, and he started talking crazy that he is claustrophobic, don't put him in the car. Don't put him in the car. He's got this problem. He's got that problem. Blah 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 blah. And they're like, what is the problem here? So the minute that he was told, and they don't tell you what they're going to arrest you for. Okay, they never do that. So these police had to be in on it. So these police knew that the biggest counterfeiting ring in all of America comes out of Minneapolis. Everybody knows that because they mail it out with FedEx, for God's sake. Everybody, if you haven't noticed that counterfeiting comes out of that city, then you just haven't been paying attention.
Well, how would the average person notice that, Thomas?
Because counterfeiting is something that doesn't come up because most people aren't stupid enough to do it. The only way you're going to counterfeit is if you have the FBI behind you with this. So here's what has come out. The new rodeo, the bar that they worked at, it's a front. It's money laundering. It's an FBI operation, always has been. They're the ones who send out the dollar bills that are marked to follow the trains of the printing of this money. But they had to have a place where the money was laundered and flowed. So they used this very active little restaurant bar. Well, guess who was the main muscle behind that? The policeman who showed up after the first two policemen arrested George. Now hang on, here's where it gets really sticky. George worked inside that place and he was a bouncer. The muscle man, white policeman, he worked outside. He was in control of everything. No one got in without him. He was the policeman. He could enforce the law right there. He was an off-duty policeman working, and he was the muscle of the place. Well, he did this for 17 years.
Must have paid pretty good.
And guess what? It was an FBI operation. It was to try to pull in people using counterfeit money.
Oh my gosh, you know what we need to do?
And launder this money.
We need to have the FBI investigate and find out who did this.
Oh, that's exactly it.
You know, like they did with Sandy Hook?
Oh yeah, they're so good.
And they did with San Bernardino?
Oh yeah.
Oh, and 9/11. And oh my God, the FBI. Why do we have the National Federal Police? They do nothing. All they do is run false flags. Continue on.
Okay. Now, this is well known. It doesn't take much research. Everyone in Minneapolis would know this. if you go to this place, what are you going to get there? You're going to get drugs, you're going to get sex, and you're going to be able to launder all this counterfeit money that if you get caught with, it's a federal crime, and they call the police and they take you away. You know that if you spend a fake $100 bill that you just got from a bank, you go to jail, not the bank? Did anybody know that? Yeah. That's the rules in America. So when you have a counterfeit bill, it goes right up the top. They want to find the stream of where it came from.
Oh, so when he took a $20 bill from that place, it was going to track right back to
and
them.
And why did he? Because he hasn't been working for all this time because of coronavirus. And he's the inside bouncer. He doesn't make the money that the controlling policeman makes, who kept his job. So here's what happened. The first police who arrived knew this guy. They all knew this guy.
Of course he did.
All four police involved knew this young, knew this man intimately, knew George intimately. Okay? So they tell him to get in because they're going to arrest him. And he's like, there's no way, because I'm not going to be used the person who goes down for this counterfeiting operation. So he's not getting into the vehicle. So guess what? Without anybody being called, the second police officers show up. And what do? Well, that's the white police officer who wants to take control of the situation. Why'd he take control of the situation? And then he takes George over to his vehicle and tries to stuff him in his vehicle. All four men can't stuff him in, but in the end, they stuff George into the back seat of the guy, of the white police officer who killed him. And I'm going to say murder, because this is a murder. This is a hit job. And that's why everybody who sees it knows it's a hit job. And this is a case of absolute murder. Now, you're not allowed to ever air murder anywhere, any place, any time, in any broadcast ever, but it's been aired everywhere and it's repeated over and over, and the very moment of death is shown on Breitbart and every other news agency. That's all illegal. How could that be happening? Okay, so he gets him, finally, the murderer gets George into the vehicle. And it's supposed to be over. He's going to take him, he's going to book him for... Well, what does George say?
What, so George was not dead when he got into the police vehicle?
No, they already had him in the vehicle.
And the police report shows
that? It says that.
Okay, but what about everybody seeing the knee go to his neck?
Oh, no, I'm not yet done yet.
Oh, okay, not there yet.
So George is in the back of the vehicle.
Okay.
And then there's an exchange between the murderer, policeman, and George. And whatever was said, the white policeman... murderer grabs George, who's sitting in the back seat after all this effort to get him in there, throws him onto the ground, and murders him. With the permission of the other three policemen who are basically aiding and watching this murder. Anyone who sees this film sees that it is a murder. Why? You have to ask yourself the question. Why would this man, why would this murderer kill George?
Well, wait a minute, because I'm going to be posting on the Cat Report, if you are listening to this and looking at the Cat Report, a picture of what was supposed to be the booking photo of Chauvin, and it's not. It's just like a regular photo. I mean, was this guy even, were any of these police officers even arrested for this murder?
All four should go to jail for murder immediately.
Well, they should be arrested, yes.
No, go to jail.
Well, you have to be arrested first.
We witnessed a murder.
Yes.
They go to, no. No, they should have no bail. He has a $500,000 bail, this white murderer policeman.
Oh,
he is an FBI agent.
He's on suicide watch, too.
He will disappear just like
Epstein. He's going to be Epstein.
Mark my words.
Uh-huh.
But the deal is, he was the FBI local handler for the FBI counterfeit money operation.
So how far up the ladder will this go with the FBI? Is this going to be another front of this war we're fighting?
They'll just stop that operation, that's all. And they'll go on and people, and we'll see this murderer policeman. He'll probably commit suicide, and the other three, nothing will be charged, though they were, in fact, accomplices to a murder. This was a murder. You see it on the film. It is a murder, and you see two films. The first film, which they don't show anybody now, is where he peacefully gets out of the car, peacefully sits down. They peacefully have a conversation with the first two policemen. No problem starts until the murderer police shows up. Why did he kill him? Because George said to him in the back seat, if you arrest me, I'm going to tell the world about the FBI counterfeit nonsense and the criminality that you're involved with.
So then
it got that policeman so angry, he threw him to the ground and murdered him in front of everyone, no matter what, no matter how many people filmed him.
But first he texts Peter Strzok and Lisa Page to get the okay. I know that's silly, but it's all the FBI.
Sure it is.
We're looking at the same thugs. They just run different operations.
Every time there's a real questionable mass murdering or anything like that, or shooting, the FBI have already been involved with the people, haven't they?
Shoot, their cars are already warming up down the street to come and rescue everybody.
Yes. So what do you see here?
Before the local police get there, the FBI. Now, remember in San Bernardino what they did? And then they had the crime scene, and they opened up the door so everybody could rummage through so that the crime scene was corrupted.
Now, George Soros knew full well that keeping everybody in house arrest makes everybody insane and they're going to go crazy. And so this was the perfect moment. Now, it's really strange because the filming of it was staged. You have a person filming a black man standing there saying that he went through the police academy, and step by step, he tells the murderer policeman that they are committing murder. Step by step, for 8 minutes. They refuse to acknowledge him, right? Well, why would they allow that to get out? Because it shows how horrible it is and that it looks endemic. This wasn't endemic, this was a hit job. This was an assassination. And the reason I know that is no one in the report, the second backup wasn't called for. And in the report, the ambulance wasn't called for. And it wasn't an ambulance, and they weren't emergency medical technicians. They were just police officers in strange outfits that seemed to have already been alerted that this was about to happen. And they came and they felt for a pulse. They didn't even hold the pulse. They didn't even hold the carotid artery long enough to find a pulse. Rolled him like a piece of meat onto the most pathetic Guernsey I've ever seen, and whipped him away. And the murderer policeman never had a look, an emotion on his face. He killed that man without any emotion. He is a murderer, period. And he couldn't have murdered George Floyd unless he's murdered others. And the other policemen standing there didn't even have a look of surprise on their face. That means they know that this policeman can't be messed with. And he knows that this policeman was part of other policemen, four policemen or five, shooting another black man to death. And none of them got in any trouble whatsoever. And Amy Klobuchar is the lawyer that let them off.
Yeah, vanilla Amy. But who wrote the police report? Because you have to be there to write the police report. So which one of these corrupt police officers wrote the report? And how do we know it's accurate?
It would have been the sergeant on duty taking all of the reports and synthesizing it because there were too many. And in the report, the initial responding officers state that they have their camera on the entire time. Notice, we don't have any camera images of when the new policeman, the murderer policeman, showed up, why he took over, what he said or what he did, until at a certain moment, a perfectly filmed, perfectly filmed, it looked like it was a Hollywood production of the filming of the murder of George Floyd, which was then released, which is illegal to release it.
Okay, but I want to get back to how these people will be tried. How is it going to be different under the Patriot Act versus regular trials for people like this?
These are war actors, and they will be tried as criminals for war. They're war criminals.
Okay.
And basically...
So we may never... I reiterate this because we may never, if that's the case, we may never see anything in the public domain about what happens to them.
They pick them up, and they can hold them until the war is over.
Is that where Tom Hanks is right now?
Who knows?
Who knows?
But I do know that if they are treated the way they should be, which is they are terrorists, they are treasonous, they're worse than seditious, they're not, it doesn't matter whether they're domestic or international. What they're here for is they're being paid to create violence and to do what you can't do, cross state lines to do that, or do it consciously.
Now, how will Susan Rice fall into this? I see some headlines about her today, so she's feeling the need to come out and probably cover her rear end, but she's clearly a part of this.
Well, the note that she wrote, it's now come out, she wasn't even in that meeting. So she's Obama's liar.
Oh.
Susan Rice was not in the meeting. And I told everybody that. I said, I didn't know Susan Rice was there.
Oh.
I didn't know she was in the first or the second meeting. But then she writes a note saying that Obama, his alibi, his exoneration, that he said to do it by the book. Do what by the book? There was no criminal investigation and there was no counterintelligence investigation, supposedly. So what were they doing by the book? She's a liar. She repeated it three times. It didn't exonerate her. It exonerated Obama.
So then Obama is a terrorist?
Obama has always been worse than that. He is a rogue CIA, always has been. His father, his mother was, and her parents were. But then he went completely nuts with the power because he came in under the Muslim Brotherhood and he was being controlled by agents in Indonesia. And then in the end, you know, he wasn't
Valerie
born in
Jarrett.
Kenya. Yeah, the guy from Kenya wasn't his dad, period. His dad was from Indonesia. And so he came in and he basically was running the George Soros, what I call chaos Marxism. Bomb everybody under the auspices of the United Nations, create all these refugees, which creates money for the Pope and for the United Nations, and then it makes us have to bring in those very people that we just bombed, which brings terrorism into America. So it seems as if Obama's single intent was to destroy America.
Well, no surprise, two or three of the largest or the most frequented Twitter pages for Antifa activity have been totally shut down. How is Jack Dorsey exposed to this Antifa being a terrorist organization? How does he fall in all this?
Antifa is George Soros. George Soros is FANG.
Oh, by the way, it's not FANG anymore. They got the N out. That's Netflix. It's now called FAMG. F-A-A-M-G.
Yeah.
Microsoft.
Let's just call it the Silicon Valley cardboard cutout companies that stole Leader Technologies inventions and made trillions off of it.
You mean the U.S. Government Executive Office, DARPA, that stole this technology so they could spy, surveil, and control all people on the planet.
Yeah, and the British got in early on, you know, don't forget
the
Brits.
Oh yeah, Nick Clegg. Got your number, Nick.
They got their piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, what's happening with Twitter is Trump, in one fell swoop, can take all of them down. Because they've all been allowing not only radical Islamic terrorism, but they've been allowing Antifa terrorism, Black Lives Matter false postings, as well as inciting to riots, sedition, and treason, on and on and on. And we know that this was a conspiracy because they all received their news from the same place, which comes from Britain, from Avid and ISIS Management, with major holdings by Dianne Feinstein's husband.
Dianne Feinstein.
Feinstein. Michael, what's his name? Bloom? Or whatever his name is. Anyway, so we can see that, again, the Chinese and the British have their claws so deep into America that by saying that the people that they support are terrorists, they all have to pull out as quickly as they possibly can. But look at Bojo. Good old Boris Johnson over there says, don't worry, I'll get Huawei in China out of our country by 2023.
Yeah.
And Trump says, well, you'll all be dead in the water by then, so I don't care. I'm not doing any business
like
with you bimbo. I told you before you did this.
But they don't know that Trump knows that Five Eyes was always set up to spy on America. They think that he still got the old narrative that the Five Eyes organization, we're all friends and we all help each other.
Yeah, you see, so much of the world believes that all of us are the idiots who believe what television tells us through its programming. Well, that's really disappointing to find out that now, when you look at even the numbers, they're fake of who watches what or how many people watch. But the deal is, so many people are turning that garbage off. And this is the age of discernment. We've said it so many times. If you don't learn to see through the lies, if you don't figure out a way to find the truth, in this age of post-truth politics, in this age of basically falsehood, it's also called falsehood politics, this is an age when people are expected to lie. Of course they lie. That's what they do. When you come out on either side of the fence and you want to be polarized, then you lie. Why? Because it's the only thing to balance out the lie of the other side. So when you have, say, the Pope coming out and making pronouncements that sound, you know, that tell us that we must worship the migrants as they are Jesus and Mary on their trip to Egypt. That's insanity. They're not helping the migrants. They get paid for every migrant. They don't help them. And it's not their agencies that help them either. And they aren't the ones who place them either. So when it comes down to it, the falsehood, even religious statements, the falsehood politics statements, the falsehood media, if you aren't used to it, it can be overwhelming. But if you learn to discern, and if you learn to do your own research, and you go back and you check these things, and you make notes, and you talk with others, and you find trusted sites, and you make sure you vet them first, and sometimes they can be beautiful and then they drift off. So you always have to be ready to follow the truth wherever it goes. It's the most important thing in our age. And if you don't, then falsehood, lies, deceit, the undermining of America from everything from your bloodstream to the poisons they give you in sugar, tobacco, and coffee on every street corner and pharmaceutical drugs that will kill you.
Don't talk about my coffee that way.
Well, you choose a poison. Everybody needs to have a little poison to alter your consciousness.
In the end, perhaps the most profound thing that Trump ever said to the general public was, fake news is enemy of the people.
Absolutely. And now, if you look closely, you're going to find foreign sources funding these people. And when that happens, then this is worse than a conspiracy. It's an international attack upon America. And that's what we have to do. If we have to close all of our borders to the evil of China, which I have been preaching now for years and years, I'm so glad that the White House is demonstrating the lies and the cheating and calling China out for who for what they are. They're communists. They are our enemies. When did they stop being our enemies? And when did what they were doing not evidently show that they are our enemies? All you have to do is watch anything they do. That's the reason it gives me, you start on China, I go crazy, because I can go on all day long about the corruption that is being ignored. We shouldn't be doing any business with China. We shouldn't be doing any business with any country that is a Islamic fascist theogony or a theocratic government. We shouldn't be doing business with these people. We should be independent. We shouldn't be dependent on our pharmaceutical drugs to China. That's insanity. We shouldn't be in any way dependent to an enemy, because look closely, the pharmaceutical drugs will tell you in most cases that they will kill you just as quick as they can heal you. And who makes those drugs for us? That would be China. So don't believe Fauci's seventh version, which is now, don't believe anything Fauci says. He now says, and just want to make sure you understand this.
Well, excuse me, but you do you know that the United States Post Office, where we live, have signs up that you can't enter the post office without a friggin' mask on? When did the United States Post Office make a decree that citizens can't enter the post office without a mask on? I'd like to know that.
Well, the fear and the confusion that's been created by Fauci and the NIH and the CDC and the WHO.
But these are local yokels making this decision.
That's all it is.
I mean,
they can't enforce it.
Well, then whoever's ahead of the post office needs to send out a memo and tell these people to stop this crap.
Fauci just said, it looks like, this is his recent statement, it looks like coronavirus 19 is not as contagious as we thought. They actually dropped it by half in terms of the numbers. And even then, they say it's 0.2% that you can actually die from it if you get it. That's not even as strong as a good flu. And those are lies, and those statistics are exaggerated. And don't forget what else he said. He said now for the seventh time, a different version, he says, wearing a mask is symbolic. And the only people who need to wear it are people who are healthy, and they're going into a place where someone who has coronavirus for the sake of the people who have the coronavirus. Now, that doesn't make any sense, and it sounds like I'm insane, but go read what he just recently said. He has it so mixed up that he's now, why is he doing that? So he can't be sued. So he can say, at a different time, I said something else. At a different time, I said something else.
Well, we need to sue that man for the loss of our businesses.
We need to close down the National Institute of Health, which hasn't helped anybody.
The CDC is just a front for the globalists to poison us. And we need to immediately get rid of that vaccine court because children are being harmed today. Today, uninformed parents are taking their little human beings into the doctor, to the pediatrician who's also brainwashed and paid extra for this vaccination. And they're offering up their children as a ritual to be injected with a Bill Gates vaccine. I mean, this is crazy.
I just read where a person says he's in a study where he has asymptomatic coronavirus and they gave him a vaccine shot to see what would happen. He says he's having some bad side effects. Wait a second. That's not possible.
But the parents that did this and they offered up their baby, they trusted their pediatrician. 3 days later, the baby can't walk or whatever because we know that these things happen. And that parent can't even go to a court to try to get some financial remedy for having to take care of that child for the rest of his or her life. Because why? The vaccination globalists have made sure that all their dirt goes into a little court that they control. This has to end immediately. President Trump, please find a way to put an end to the court that protects these vaccination warlords, and then that way they'll stop, because if they have to put money on the line to take care of the injuries they're causing, they'll stop this stuff.
That's right. And if these are safe vaccines, then they won't be sued.
That's
now, will
right.
they?
If they were safe, people would want them.
Yeah.
We'd have a choice. But instead, they are being fast-tracked. Oh, forget any human studies on this long-term or anything. Just rush it to your pediatrician and inject your newborn. Oh, yeah. All right, that's it. I'm done today. Bye. See everybody for the next show.